So glad you're able to join us for our face-to-face Ladies' Bible Study here today. And so glad to be able to continue on in our study. As I mentioned last week, I'm certainly looking forward to the time that we can gather back together. I hope it's soon. We'll certainly let you know when we will resume here in person with our full face-to-face study as well as our mentoring moms. But we're thankful at least to continue our study through the book here. And I trust it's been a help to you. The insight that Elizabeth Elliot has is very helpful and very thought-provoking. And I encourage you to read the chapters. That will add much to what I'm trying to cover. And I think that there'll be some perspectives that could really be life-changing for you. Last week, we looked at the discipline of the body. And the discipline of the body is a good foundation for our subject for today, and that is the discipline of the mind. When our bodies are weak and they are not functioning as they should, and we're not in control of our body, it's going to be much harder for us to have the strength and discipline to be able to do what we're going to be talking about here today in regard to having the right perspective of our thought process. Now, frankly, I think very often we do not give this subject that she covers the kind of attention that we should. And so I trust you'll listen closely as we talk about this and also read carefully. She has a lot of material in this chapter. We're only going to go about halfway through because I want to do justice to the chapter. I think it's very important. And I'm not going to cover everything as we go along because of just the nature of speaking here. So she's got documentation and things that I think would be a great help to you. A simple and orderly life, she says, represents a clean and orderly mind. Her whole subject here, her whole thought is that our problems that manifest itself in how we do things and how do we order our life and how we take care of things really comes out of a thought process. If we are muddled up in our thinking, well, then we're going to be muddled up in our living. If our house is cluttered, then our minds are probably cluttered. And so our mind and life need to be freed from the disorder of the unnecessary. Now, folks, every person listening to me knows that we are living in a distracted day with the potential for all kinds of mental clutter. That's why we have to have a very strict control of our technology, because it can just distract us in a moment. That's why I encourage folks, don't have signals on your phone when you receive an email or other things like that, because you'll be constantly pulled away from a thought process that could be very important for what you're going to do next and even long term, what you're going to do with your life. And so in our day, we have to, in particular, make decisions not to be cluttered in our thinking. I think of the limitations that people have had in the past, and yet you read their writings, the things that they came up with without Google, without the ability to find information. It's amazing. And it was because there was more of a discipline of mind so that there could be productive thinking. And then from a spiritual standpoint, that the Holy Spirit can get us to think properly and give us what we need through the Word of God in His applying the Word of God to our life. Peter says we need to be under perfect self-control. We need to be ready for action. The Lord Jesus said that the greatest commandment is that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all of our mind. That our focus on Him should be able to be complete because we have the ability to allow our minds to be under the control of the Spirit, and so we truly can think on the Lord. I remember as a younger person how God really struck me with Romans chapters 12, 1 and 2. The first verse was where I really gave my heart to the Lord. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that's what we talked about last week, giving our bodies to God, allowing Him to control our bodies, that they're holy, set apart for Him, that we are not using them selfishly. But that's only part of the equation. Then it goes on to say, be not conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into its mold, but be transformed. In other words, we need to be different people. And how does that occur? And it occurs, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that ye may prove, that ye may be convinced of the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, honestly, in both our educational process, parental training, and then just the habits of life now with all the distractions that we have, very few people really think things through. And therefore, there's much that isn't done that could be done, and there is just not a real effective use of all the resources that we have in our lives. So God wants to do that by renewing, strengthening our mind. And what's so encouraging here? Maybe you have sloppy habits of thinking. Maybe you would have to say, you know, I'm all over the place in my thought process. I really don't know how to think things through. Well, I want you to be encouraged that God is the one that will renew your mind. But there has to be a purposeful yielding of ourselves. That's why the title of this whole study is Discipline, the Glad Surrender. In other words, we get excited about the Spirit of God bringing us under His control so that we can really have that supernatural help to be what we ought to be. And so it is very important we get a hold of this. Sir Joshua Reynolds said, there is no expedient to which a man will not resort to avoid the real labor of thinking. Thinking something through is really something. I know I've seen several different skits where you have a person say, all right, we need to think about it. And everybody, oh, you know, and they go through this thinking process. We do it in one of our Bible school skits, and it's always funny when you see it, but there's a lot of realism to that. You have somebody pull their hat down over their ears and just, you know, thinking. It's such hard work. Well, from a human standpoint, frankly, to really be focused in is a discipline that is not common. And it takes an ability to be in control of yourself to be able to do that. Try following a simple idea through to its conclusion. Think about how many detours you make. How many times you'll stop to pass the time of the day with another idea. And she says, and it's utterly unrelated to the first. And she uses this kind of imagery. How often did you sink into the grass, as it were, at the side of the road and let your mind float with the clouds? She goes on to give the illustration of writing this very chapter as she is in Norway in a perfect environment. She's on an inland waterway, and she's in a hut there on an inland waterway. Nobody's around, and nothing could be more conducive to writing and thinking. However, she talks about all the things her mind has gone to while she is trying to write this very chapter. When's it going to clear up? So she checks the barometer. She goes down to see if the mink who lives on the bank will show himself again. Picks flowers to put in the vase, and on it goes, all the different things. Fixing a sandwich and reading a bit of a diary and so forth. We can all relate to that. So the temptation is always there to allow ourselves to be distracted. And so it's so important that we realize that those who really produce, those who have order in their life and in their homes and in their families, are people that are willing to take the important thought, the plan, the understanding, and take it to its ultimate end. This is why parents that are listening to me, teach your children to master what they're learning, not to be distracted, but to be interested, to be excited, to think it through, talk about it with you, but make them think those thoughts through that of what they are learning, and they will develop a discipline in their life that will be extremely helpful to them when they get older. And so it's very, very important that we realize that we might not have the mental capacity of someone else or even the educational background, but if we learn to focus, it is amazing what we can digest in reading and to think things through till we understand them. And this is especially true, as we're going to see, when it comes to the Word of God. The great physician William Osler told the students of Yale one Sunday evening about 70 years ago, or it's more than that now, "The failure to cultivate the power of peaceful concentration is the greatest single cause of a mental breakdown." In other words, if you let your mind go where it wants to go, and you've got depressive thoughts or you've got odd thoughts, and you don't have the ability to control them, that's when things can get out of whack. And so we need to be able to think right and to think biblically. And that oftentimes is not easy. Just, I want you to think about this. Suppose you were to set aside half an hour to think soberly about what we can do and cannot do for the sake of the advancement of the cause of Christ in the church. If we start by submitting everything to Christ and asking Him to change our mind and then proceed to concentrate faithfully on those words, we'd be surprised how much time we're wasting, how many things we're doing that don't help, and the ideas that would come that God could use, because He is very concerned about our lives being used within the context of the body of Christ. That's why we're here, or else we'd be in heaven. Now, one of the things we got to understand, and I appreciate the emphasis here on this, is the fact that we must not think of this as Eastern meditation does, as emptying our minds. Now, we certainly want to put away distractions. But as Paul says in Philippians 4:8, think on these things. We are to be actively thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And of course, Christ's mind was of perfect order, perfectly focused. It was not emptied. And the thing we got to realize is that if we empty our mind, there is another spiritual force out there. And this is very dangerous. Lost people really let demonic force come into them when they do that. But those that are saved, we have the Spirit of God, but we can be influenced by things that are unbiblical. And so if we are going to really take time to think, we've got to start first and foremost with the Word of God. Now, you can think about all kinds of stuff, but just to think can lead you down wrong paths all over the place. We're talking about focusing on genuine spiritual reality and all the ramifications of it. In other words, what is our lives about? What does God want me to do? How can I best work this out? How can I figure this out? How can I learn this? And it's all got to start with God's Word, because you want to think about reality, not to be fooled by emotions and logic. Because if we just think things through and have discipline of our mind, but we don't have spiritual illumination, and it doesn't start with spiritual reality, we can come to wrong conclusions, both by how we feel and how we logically think things through. That's why there has to be the transforming by the renewing of our mind. And so it is It has to start with knowing what is real. For instance, just a view of who we are starts with the biblical teaching of creation. And we understand we're created in His image, and that God is the author of everything, and that the Word of God is given to us so we can know the very mind and heart of God. And so if we have a worldview that starts with God's creation and man specially created by God in His image with an eternal spirit that is fallen but can be redeemed, everything changes then about our thought process. And so we have to be willing to start with that the premise that the only reality is the reality of the Word of God as then illuminated by the Spirit of God. For instance, we can be very blind about things if we do not see ourselves as sinful creatures that need a Redeemer. Think of how Satan has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them, 2 Corinthians 4:4. We can become very blind if we are looking at ourselves and we are not willing to understand our need for God, thinking we can somehow get to heaven on our own, and we as believers thinking somehow we can make something of our life through our own power, and we're really not as bad as, you know, we sometimes think we are. And so we've got to understand that discipline of the mind begins with an agreement with God about who we are, our need of Him, our helplessness without Him, our inability to understand truth without Him. We can't just think things through. Think of the great philosophers, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, the Greek philosophers, and then we could come right on down throughout history. They could only think through what they have observed, and they miss what man is, man's problem, man's solution, because they don't begin with God and the need of man and the fact that there is redemption through Jesus Christ, and then there is transformation through our following the God that created us. And so we've got to be willing to understand we're sinners in need of God. And what a tremendous help that is. See, people try to think through, try to make themselves feel better. So when you talk about a person that's really trying to think things through, if they are trying to do it outside of revelation, trying to find themselves or trying to come to some peace or trying to figure life out, all they're going to do is get all muddled up and get discouraged, and they're going to find one empty situation after another, going to find dead-end roads. Now, what we have to do is realize that our whole thinking, even about practical things in our life, always must start with a biblical premise. And so we got to turn away from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of God. And this provides a whole set of values and possibilities that are just glorious. When we begin to walk by faith and look at reality from God's perspective, now limitations are gone. And we can start thinking right. And we don't excuse ourselves. You know, a lot of times thinking is just rationalization, trying to come up with why we're not that bad and why what we're doing is okay and we don't have to feel so bad about ourselves. Well, all of that's going to just end up turning you on your head as a believer. But we have a tendency. So we're not talking about caving into that kind of thinking. We're talking about productive thinking that starts with the Word of God, and then the Spirit of God is able to help you figure things out, think it through, come to the right conclusions, really have quality understanding. That's what God wants. And so we cannot have that excusing kind of mentality. The worldly mind says, look, I'm human. Don't expect me to love that woman, not after what she did to my family. It's impossible. Spiritual thinking says, I have a responsibility to that person. The word of Christ is love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Now, this is impossible, but as it was impossible for Peter to walk on the sea until he obeyed Christ's command, it is impossible for us to be what we ought to be. And God can change our thinking about people and others. She gives the first verse here of a beautiful hymn, May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. And so we can give a wrong impression here if we talk about the discipline of the mind, but make it a human exercise. Because, like I said, emotionalism, desires, and intellectualism can be a great trap. Now, God has given us a powerful brain. I really came to understand the enormity of what we have with our whole neurological system and our brain in particular when my son had his brain tumor. You know, it's amazing when you run into those kind of crises how much you learn. And as our neurosurgeon at that time said, you know, the most primitive of all the medical sciences is the science about the brain. He said, we are just scratching the surface of this amazing organ that God has given to us. When the Bible says we're made in his image, we're made in his image because we have a will and we have an eternal spirit. But we're also made in his image because we have a brain that reflects the glory of the absolute perfection of God's understanding. We're very finite, very limited. But we don't even use a portion, a small fraction of our brain. And so it is right for us to keep developing, keep reading, keep learning things, think things through, come to good conclusions, produce things, be involved in things, have vision, and on we could go. But if we don't start with spiritual reality, if we don't start with that which is true, and have the right foundation of thinking, then we are going to then come to conclusions because of our sinful nature that are just not right. Now, having said that, I need to then follow up on that thought for a moment. Remember, illumination only comes from the Spirit of God. Understanding of Scripture. The natural mind does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. We can't know what's in his heart. He's given us the revelation of his word. But it's only the spiritual mind that can understand the word of God and keep us from living a carnal, flesh-dominated life. And when it comes to both a proper right thinking about Scripture and then in a scriptural perspective about all the issues of life and all the things we really need to think through until we really have come up with what we need and the order that we ought to have in our life, the only way that's going to happen is if we are spirit-filled. And it is important, ladies, that you just realize that if you just sit down to think, and you're not right with God, that's going to be dangerous. Now, just be in a simple relationship with the Lord. If best as you know how, you've confessed to him. You can say, Lord, guide my thinking. Start always your day with the Word of God. Read then books that will stimulate your thinking that are based upon the Word of God. That is very, very important. And God will use that mightily in your life to help you then have disciplined thinking that will be very productive. It's amazing how that will help you if you have that as the inner part of your life. So don't just have a blank slate when you sit down. Have that already in you. And then ask God for things that you need to decide upon, things that you need to do in your life. And you will be just really amazed at what God will do in guiding you and helping you in your life. I'm just so thankful how, I ask the Lord for help, and all of a sudden ideas will come and direction will come, and then the ability to figure something out will come, and you just rejoice. And if you won't let distractions come, you can think that through, but it's got to start in the Word. It's got to start with good, godly literature, and I should have mentioned also good godly communication with people that will edify you. You know, I found that I just can't sit down to figure things out. I can't sit down to maybe produce something. just in a sterile type situation. I need to be walking with God, first and foremost, because I need to have His power, as we mentioned. But then I need to stimulate my thinking by godly counsel, letting spiritual gifts of others stir me up. And it's amazing. I can talk to someone for a few minutes about a subject that I need to figure out and just to get their perspective, and it just gets you going. My relating back to them gets my whole thought process going. That's why we're in such a desperate need of fellowship. That's why we're lacking that fellowship right now during these days, and we need to pray that we can soon have it back. But communicate, but don't communicate in a fleshly, carnal way. Have spiritual friends and have spiritual environment that will cause you to be able to really communicate in a way that will bring you to spiritual truth. So as we finish up here today, I just want to encourage you to think about the fact that our minds are really undisciplined. We're distracted. It go all over the place. It's amazing. We really run into problems in learning to focus and coming through with learning what we need to learn and thinking things through so that we can know the will of God in our lives. The Bible said the renewing of our mind will prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we want. So I trust you'll read this chapter. I've only gone about halfway through it. We will finish it out because this is something that we often don't really grasp. And I think a lot of times good Christians, their minds are just not developed and they're not accomplishing what they could because they don't have the discipline of the mind. So God bless you, and I trust this will be an encouragement to you, and may you grow in a mighty way throughout this week.